guys, welcome to Game Changer. I'm David Villa here with Diana Villa, and we're going to be talking over the next couple of weeks. We're going to break this down. We're going to take our time. This is actually Diana's lesson. She wrote this, and I'm excited to go through this, but we're going to talk about framing our thoughts. How many know, let me just say this, we're thinking something constantly, right? We're constantly thinking. We're thinking thoughts, whether they're good thoughts, bad thoughts, positive thoughts, negative thoughts. And we're going to talk about how to frame our thoughts according to God's word. And, there's some scriptures that talk about that. And I don't want to give away the ending, so to speak, but, the Bible talks about to think on these things, and it tells us really what to think on. And, yesterday you did this, and I asked you, I said, would you kind of lay this out again? You did it in our company, Make It Happen. And, what I got out of it too, you mentioned how there's so many people that struggle with anxiety. And there's just, it's because it's rooted in thought, rooted in our thought, and there's so many voices, there's so many things out there, Diana, and I know there's several points here. And again, it's going to take a couple of weeks to go through them all because I want to take our time because every one of these are so powerful. But let me start just by the thing you laid out at the beginning, because everybody's chasing success, and really, you kind of define success here differently. You defined success from the very get-go, and I think that's where it's interesting how you started it that way, because everybody thinks about their life, it doesn't matter if you're in business, doesn't matter where you are, it doesn't matter what you do, everybody wants to be successful in their own right. And so talk about why you started with success and really defining it, or redefining it, I should say.
Well, I think that a lot of anxiety right now is coming from, people trying to achieve, what the world says is successful. We're looking at life through the eyes of other people, and we're looking through social media. We're looking through all the highlights of people's lives, and we're defining our lives by that. And, then you're also told, success means you have all these things. Mm-hmm. And so that part started in my small group on last week. It kind of came up. And so it's been something that's been in me. And I actually had something else planned for our company meeting yesterday. And to be honest with you, when I got here, I felt like the Lord was trying to change it. So this is still like very new. And I really wanted to refine it a little bit more. But here we are. And so I guess it's going to be refined with you guys.
It'll be refired.
But I define success as ultimate true success is about being in relationship with God and being faithful. And when I mean faithful, loyal, and steadfast in all the areas that God has given us, our personal life, our spiritual life, our family life, to include our spouse, our children, our extended family, maybe those friends that we consider family, our education, our career, our ministry, our finances, those things that God has brought into our lives to steward and steward well. I feel like if we're doing that and we're being faithful in the things that God has put into us, given to us to do in our lives, if we're being faithful, that's ultimately true success. There's right. Lots of people in this world, that have obtained a worldview success, maybe have the ultimate job, have all these things that are miserable, and really being with right standing with God and stewarding the things that God's placed in our hands and stewarding them well, I feel like that ultimately at the end of time defines success.
Yeah, it's definitely a different definition, I think, than a lot of people would have come up with, or possibly different thought process than somebody, if we would have asked the question in the beginning, hey, how do you define success? I think that people define it differently. And it does look different for every person. But what I like here, is it starts with the foundation, what you said, our relationship with God, but then it targets everything that we ultimately care about. It targets our health. It includes our spouse, our children, our extended family, our education, our career, our ministry, our finances, relationship. It includes everything we do, which are the things we do care about. It's just the way you're defining it here is you're starting with the foundation, I should say, which is the correct way to build anything. So moving along and looking at this, because this is what's going to take long, because they all, and there's so many points here that we'll go through maybe 20 minutes or so today, and then we'll wrap it up with our next episode. But let's go through a few of these. You talk about different things that I think, let's just call them breadcrumbs or paths or steps, you know, that we can take, right, to reframe our thoughts or to frame our thoughts. And some of us, it is a reframe. Some of it, we've never really framed them. We just kind of threw the picture on the wall. I'm thinking of, like, you know, you know, you get somebody gave us something recently, you know, really cool, you know, picture or whatever you call it, or art. And then, you know, it was thoughtful, but when you undo it, it's just the canvas. It's just the paper. You frame it right to make it look pretty, to hang it right, to make it match. And so somebody, maybe you just thrown something on the wall, maybe you don't have any frame around it. Some of us have placed the world's frames, you know, the frames of society, the frames of our family, the frames of our neighbors around it. But so maybe we're going to frame them or reframe them. But some steps here that you've laid out, this, you start with the first one there. You said cast your care. Talk about that one.
So I feel like if we are focused on the weights of this, of living, right? How we get everything done, you know, the housework, our problems. If we are always focused on those things, I think our emotions follow that. And so I think we have to get to a place of where we acknowledge, you know, the things that are the challenges that we face. We have to acknowledge them, but we have to come to a place that we begin to cast them on the Lord and realize that we weren't designed to carry that load. We were designed to work through them with the Lord's help, but we weren't designed to carry them. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like we're carrying as people a lot of things that are weighing us down from walking in the fullness of what God has for us. So casting those things on Him and allowing Him to help us work through some of the things that we've created. We create our own problems a lot of times.
Right.
But I think God allows us to go through some of those things and make some of those choices to help us be better, get better. So in 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. You have the ability to go to a father and cast those things on Him because He cares for you.
Right.
You know, there's another scripture in the Bible that talks about His yoke is easy and His burden is light. You were not designed to carry them,
yeah,
but you were designed to give them over to the Lord and allow, and He'll walk with you through them.
So you weren't designed to carry them. You were designed to cast them.
Yes.
Okay. So the next one here, you talk about the Lord is my firm foundation. So another step to framing our thoughts is realizing that God is my firm foundation.
So, a firm foundation says if I'm on a firm foundation, I'm strong, I'm stable. Most likely if you're on a firm foundation, you're not going to shake and wobble. You're stable. Mm-hmm. And so I'm thinking about the scripture in the Bible that talks about the wise man built his house
on the rock.
And so I feel like a lot of us are building and right now in this generation, they're building their houses on sand, things
which
that are fleeting.
Foolish man, yes. Did the Bible say?
Yes.
Says.
On fleeting, things that are fleeting, things that won't stand the test of time. Mm-hmm. They're building their houses and their families on a 30-second real,
yeah,
on those principles of authority instead of a long lasting firm foundation in principles of God.
Right.
And so they aren't going to withstand the test of time. You know, I love to say that relationships are, you know, butterflies and rainbows all the time, but they're not.
Yeah.
You know, you experience tough times and you have to know how to work through them. And I think that, you know, we're seeing all these little small views of people's lives and then we're wondering why, what's wrong with me? Right.
Yeah.
We're comparing our life because we're only seeing these small glimpses and
right,
we're trying to and our lives aren't matching the wonderful highlight clips. We are in the outtakes.
Yeah.
We are living the outtakes and we're experiencing the outtakes.
The
and are wondering why we're not matching up. And so we find ourselves wondering what's wrong with us. Nothing's wrong with us. It's real and it's life.
Mm-hmm.
But then it goes back to when we're facing those challenges while we're casting them on the Lord. So they all kind of go hand in hand. Yeah.
So that's good. And we're talking about framing your thoughts. And if you think about this, the foundation and, you know, the wise man building their house on the rock, foolish man on the sand, we're talking about the foundation, building your very thoughts upon a solid foundation. So if it, I'm thinking if the ground's shaky and your thoughts are built upon that, then your thoughts are going to be shaky. And there's where the anxiety comes from. So let's look at the next one here. Moving along, overcoming indecision. Why is that on this list of processes or steps to framing your thoughts? Where does that come into play? Overcoming indecision. Let me read your scripture here. You got down for 2 Timothy 1:7. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Talk about that one. Overcoming indecision.
Well, I think right now we live in a time period where it's like, you know, I got to do me. We can say what we want, do what we want, and not acknowledge that there are sometimes consequences for those things.
Right.
So I feel like overcoming indecision, we have to be steadfast in our beliefs. Mm-hmm. What we believe. So I think we have to already have established a firm foundation. So I think it stands hand in hand. I think we have to have some established firm foundations of, you know, what we believe and why we believe it. And I think if you have a firm foundation of those things, some things that are non-negotiables in your life,
right,
then when culture changes, you're going to stand strong. So there won't be those indecisions. Mm-hmm. So when those things come, you're going to already be decisive on what you believe and why, and you don't have to be swayed.
I'm reminded of the scripture, the double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Do you
that's
have that
James 1 6 okay. through 8. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. The person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all that
they
do.
When I think of unstable, again, I'm thinking of, it links in with your foundation that you just mentioned a minute ago. You know, the double-minded man, it's unstable. It's rickety. It's you can't build something solid on something unstable. That's powerful. That's good stuff. Okay, so the next one you have here, this is going
to
sound...
Oh, I have to say this. You have to be stable, but at the same time, there are times where there are winds of change.
Yeah, and so we have flexible to, maybe? So be stable,
but I think that comes down to making sure that you're seeking the Lord, because there are times that God causes us to change directions.
Yeah, that, I don't think it has any... But I agree. I don't think, though, that's the same as being as stability. Stability... and flexibility, right? I mean, even when they build some of the strongest skyscrapers in the world, they really bend them. They build them with the knowing that a lot of them are going to move
in
the air, and you know you might not be able to see it, but that's happening, and they design it that way. They architect it that way. Let's look at this one here. This is interesting because it's going to be kind of sound weird, but it's be quote God loves me end quote minded. So be God loves me minded. That's talk about that.
So I think it's very easy let's read the scripture. So we have to come to know and to believe the love of God has, I'm sorry. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in them. 1 John 4:16. I think that when we are actively aware that God loves me, it allows us to be able to also love others. When we recognize that his love abides in us, it allows us to, extend grace to others. And I think that when we recognize that even in my weaknesses, mm-hmm. and in my failures and in my faults, he loves me, I think it just... For me, I think that even when I fail and I recognize that there's someone greater that loves me, I don't know, I guess that just is an encouragement to me. I felt like that was really important because I feel like we can get down on ourselves. And I think,
when I'm thinking about, you know, framing our thoughts, you know, a lot of times our thoughts, you know, there's a stinking thinking, right? There's in our thoughts dictate our actions. And a lot of times even our actions dictate our thoughts, like what's going on around, or I'm sorry, our activity, our circumstances dictate our thoughts a lot of times, and they shouldn't, but they do. And so I think a lot of times we have to, what I see out of that is, and I got when you talked about it yesterday, is we have to remind ourselves that he loves us, remind ourselves that there's a God of the universe, one who built it all, started it all, that's in charge of it all. This, it's all about him. It's all going to be about him when it's all over. He loves us, you know? And that to me is that's something that I want to frame my thoughts by, because when I go and I veer off my thinking, you know, it always centers me to bring me back to like, he loves me. You know what I mean? He wants nothing but good. You know, Romans 8:28, all things work together for the good of those that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. Like, my thoughts can be framed by knowing that that is my God. And so let's talk about the next one then. And this is what we talk about, stinking thinking, right? We're talking about thoughts. We're talking about our thinking. So it would stand to reason, but I want you to talk about this one. Change your thinking. We have to change our thinking. So when we're reframing our thoughts, we have to change our thinking. It seems like that's common sense, but that might be some of the last things we actually do. Maybe we think our thoughts are good. What do you talk about that? Change your thinking.
My mind is being renewed daily and my life is changing. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and what is acceptable, what is perfect. Romans 12:2.
Right.
I think one thing for me that, you know, sometimes we can be, you know, let's think about it from a job perspective. Oh, I hate my job. Maybe instead of approaching your day at your job as I hate my job, maybe approach it, hey, I'm thankful for the job that God has given me at this time in this season. And this is where what God's put me. So I'm going to be a good steward in this. And so I'm going to do it as unto the Lord. And maybe God will change your, if you can change your thoughts about that, he can change your actions, and maybe you'll renew a passion in you until God opens up another door. If you're a good steward where you're at, maybe that's when God's going to open the next door, because you're a good steward where you're at. You know, I always heard, if you're, this is a long time ago, but you know, you're praying for a new car, but are you taking care of the car that you have currently? If you're praying for a new
job,
are you being a good steward of the job that God's given you?
I
want
to be a business owner and I want to start my own thing, but are you
a good employee?
Right.
Currently. So I think changing your thinking is approaching it differently. You know, there's an old saying, you know, everyone thinks the grass is greener on the other side, but that grass has to be watered when you get over there too. So I think it's changing your thinking.
Yeah.
It's not greener if you don't water it. The grass you're in can be greener too, but are you doing the things necessary to make it greener?
Not only that.
So I think it's changing your thinking about how you're approaching it. You have the ability to change the atmosphere of where you're at, because you have God in you. Mm-hmm. So you automatically carry, you know, the game changer of life is in you. And so what are you doing with that? Changing your thinking.
When I think about the comparison aspect of it, what just the grass, going off the grass is greener on the other side, you know, better job, better, oh, that person's got it, that person's a business owner, that person's this, that, you know, you start to look and you start to compare, you say the grass is greener. The reality is, in times when I've thought that, you know, when it came to maybe success, you know, or acquiring things or just being at a different level, the reality is, looking back, if God would have placed me as steward of that grass that was, I thought was greener, it was maybe greener. But it was also because that person spent the time fertilizing it. That person spent the time watering it. That person spent the time, you know, pouring into it, and took and went through the seasons in the growth process. So if God would have taken me, placed me as steward over that grass with at the season that I was in, I would have killed it.
Yeah.
In other words, somebody would have looked at that same grass that was greener, and 2 months later, it would have had brown spots.
Yeah.
Right? It would have, because I wasn't equipped. And I didn't pay the price, so to speak. So, you know, that's something that, you know, and I had to change my thinking on that. And, you know, and we need to change our thinking on that. And so let's tackle one more today. We'll do six today and then I leave seven more for next week. But so right down the middle, pretty much. But let's look at this last one here, right? When we're thinking about reframing or framing our thoughts, the last one we'll tackle today is I am able. I'm able. Talk about that.
I am able to do whatever God has called me to do. And so I think it really comes down to knowing what your purpose is and the plan of God for your life,
mm-hmm.
and knowing that you are more than a conqueror through Christ, that if he has called you to it, he's going to equip you
right
for it. And it may take time and it may get dirty and it may be painful,
right.
But you are able, you are more than enough, that the God in you has called you to this, and so he will equip you for it. And anything worth having is worth fighting for.
And if I can add something to that, if God's called you, he's equipped you, he's also provided the resource, he has the resources for
it. Yeah.
He has the team for it. He has, if he's given you a vision that's big enough that requires people, he's got the individuals that are going to get behind it. He has the building for it, the land for it, the vision for it. He has the spouse for you. He has the family for you. He has that, you know? And so he not only has he equipped you for it, he's provided the resources. He's supplied. And the Bible says, what our God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And so, you know, I just want to encourage somebody on that level as well, that you are able because he's able. Amen. And today we're talking, and next week we're going to be talking about framing our thoughts. Our thoughts, your thoughts are there. And, you know, either they're being framed by society, by culture, by social media, by the news, which I know you said something pretty cool about that yesterday, or they're not framed at all, which means your thoughts are all over the place. Maybe your thoughts are all over the place, all over the wall, right? You know, they're all over the wall because they're not framed. They're just thrown up against the wall. And, you know, and your life reflects that. And so, by the way, your life will reflect how your thoughts are framed. If they're framed by the Word of God, it'll reflect it. If they're framed by society or culture or social media or news, they'll reflect it. If they're not framed, then they're going to reflect it by being all over the place. And
I think your emotions follow where your thoughts go.
100%.
So, you know, the scripture you were talking about earlier was Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever is true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And so I think you have to train your thoughts to think on the good.
Yeah.
Even in a bad day, I think one of the things I try and do is find the good in the day. Even if I've had a rough day, as I try and like settle down my thoughts, and usually that's on the way home, when I'm driving home, is I have to pull out the good. Because if I focus on all the challenges of the day, you will crumble under them. So sometimes the day is, hey, I didn't eat a cookie today. Sometimes that's the one positive,
the win.
You know, that's the win. You have to find it. You know, I know people that have dealt with depression, and their win is that they just got out of bed and brushed their teeth.
Yep.
You have to find the good. Wherever your thoughts go, your emotions go. And so you have to discover the wins. And here's the thing, you're going to get up the next day, and maybe that's your win.
Yep.
But whatever you close out your day, that's probably going to be how it sets up your next day. You know, if you close out your day and say, today sucked, well, guess what? You're probably going to wake up the next morning and your thoughts are going to be, I have to do this again. Oh my gosh. Versus if you find that when you wake up the next morning, you're ready. So you're not dreading your day, but you're anticipating the day. There's a difference. Yes.
All right. Well, perfect. Well, listen, this wraps up day one, episode one of Framing Your Thoughts. What an awesome lesson Diana put together. Make sure you share this with somebody. Maybe you know somebody right off the bat that needs to hear this, and then make sure you tune in to the next episode as well. And talking about that, subscribe to our YouTube channel, subscribe to our Spotify and Apple channel. Please, we'd love to reach more people with the gospel. And if this is an encouragement to you, make sure you tell somebody about it as well. If you're on social media, tag us. We love to hear from you. And it's a blessing to us to see what God's doing in your life. Also, we just passed 10,000 downloads on the Game Changer app. Glory be to God. And so if you have not downloaded that app yet, you can stay connected every day with us. We have encouragement that goes out every single day. There's Bible plans. There's all types of resources. And you can type that into Android, Apple, Google, anywhere. And you can just type in Game Changer by IPD Agency. Make sure you download the app and tell someone else about it. Hey, we'll talk to you guys next time. I'm David. This is Diana. And you've been listening to the Game Changer Podcast.